8179.
Welcome to America Tonight. My name's Kate Delaney. How's it going, America? Oh, let me tell you. They are busy on the Hill, and I have to say, hopefully, some of the things will come to pass that they're talking about. Things that could make us feel like, oh, yeah, some of the people we appointed are doing what we thought they might do. But before we jump to that, and I'm sure you're confused, saying, what you talking about? I'm talking about oil and subsidizing big oil in a sense. I'll get to that in just a moment. But first, right off the top, huge, huge story. Al-Zawahiri appointed the Al-Qaeda leader. That just happened officially. It's not something we didn't expect to happen. He had been a longtime lieutenant of course, Osama bin Laden. So now the Egyptian-born Zawahiri vowed to push ahead with his campaign against the U.S. and its allies to destroy everyone and anyone he could. But he's finally made a public appearance in response to bin Laden's death. And, you know, remember that happened, obviously, in the beginning of May. And Zawahiri just was gone. Nobody had seen him anywhere. So his whereabouts, of course, are still unknown. And he was always thought to be the likely successor to bin Laden. That just becomes official, I guess, the way to put it. So it is official. One slides out, another slides in. And Zawahiri's a dangerous cat, one that they've been after for a long time, but at least there are a lot of details known about him. Remember the theory, well, if you cut the snake of the head off, another one's still going to grow. You're going to have a new head. Well, of course. So we just blow the head off the next one. I mean, really, how many people said that to me? And I'd be like, well, okay, so we could say that about any bad guy or evil person that you nail. There's always somebody in the organization willing to step up into that role. So he's the guy who's stepping up into the role. Al-Zawahiri, that's the guy. He was very aware of what the plans were. He was the right hand man, if you will, of Osama bin Laden. There is no secret about that, except for now he's showing up on Arab television, because he was nowhere to be found. He laid low, I guess, for a few weeks and then decided to come forward. And that's also not a surprise. That's a planned deal, of course. Of course, it's a planned thing. All right, let's get to the juicy part about oil and combating high oil prices. Many of you, we've had some blowout shows on this. Well, here's the thing. When you pull up the pumps, nobody's paying $6, $7. And I don't care, our friends in Europe, if you say, well, in England, we're paying way more than that. It doesn't matter. In America, we do not want to pay $6, $7, $5 for that matter, for our gas, $4. So the average gas price has been around that $4 mark, give or take. Senator Bernie Sanders from Vermont, independent from Vermont, finally introduced legislation he was promising that is meant to actually combat the negative stories coming out of Wall Street, the negative impact of that oil speculation on gas prices. This is why you see the fluctuation at the pumps more than anything else.
Sadly, the spike in oil and gasoline prices was entirely avoidable. The Wall Street Reform Act, the Dodd-Frank Act, required the Commodities Futures Trading Commission to impose strict limits 5 months later. The CFTC has still not imposed those speculation limits. In other words, the chief regulator on oil speculation is essentially breaking the law. This legislation mandates that the chairman of the CFTC take immediate action to eliminate excessive oil speculation within 2 weeks.
But I think, as you've heard here,
and it was my experience, there's absolutely a real lack of urgency, a lack of understanding of what these high gas and oil prices are doing to the American people.
It's killing the American people. And you know what it's doing? It's affecting our food prices. When gas goes up, it affects the trucks. It affects the food. It was something I saw today. I couldn't wait to get on the air and say it. If you like asparagus, if you like asparagus for, I don't know, 10 spears of asparagus, it's $4.50. Are you kidding me? I'll grow it myself. But that's the problem. Food prices have shot up, and this is exactly what has happened with the negative speculation. It's funny because if you go to our website, americatonight.net, you can see me, or actually see a cool plaque that I have up, cameras focused on. But normally you'll see my face, and a lot of people from overseas chat with us here on the show. So you're listening in your backyard, and they're listening outside our borders, including Jack from Down Under, who says he has to get back to the USA to save money on food and gas, because in Australia, it's that much more. Just like in the UK. Some people in the UK have good jobs, but you are paying, an incredible amount of money to live like in London. London would be the equivalent of New York City, how expensive it can be to live in New York City, or even San Francisco may be a better high water mark for that one. So bravo, Bernie Sanders. We are absolutely on the same side on this one. The negative speculation is part of the reason why you see that big fluctuation. Always the questions, well, how can it be this? People are in collusion. How is it that you drive over a bridge from Pennsylvania to New Jersey and there's a 50-cent difference in what you're paying for gas? And it's ironic, too, because you look at OPEC and they're going to haul in $1 trillion, according to one of the London newspapers I was reading, The Telegraph, as oil prices increase and the risk of the double-dip recession. It doesn't matter. They're recession-proof, or so it seems. The key members include, of course, of OPEC, Saudi Arabia and Iran. They're going to collect a third more in money because prices have averaged about $111 a barrel this year. You can't tell me that they don't want to, they want to see that stay for sure. Why would they want to see that change? Economists do say, though, that the price is at a level near to the tipping point of the, you know, the global economy back into some kind of a downturn, and that wouldn't help them either. So to combat sky-high oil prices, the attempt is a swap with Saudi Arabia. That's what they're trying to have happen. And the president's people around him, Axelrod and Gibbs, they know, boy, gas prices, you get in the 5, 6, you hit 7, Obama's unelectable. If we had $7 gas, Obama is unelectable. And we're headed right toward that. Certainly, $5. Oh, the thought of paying $5 for a gallon of regular gasoline just sickens me. Just sickens me. We're talking about Casey Anthony's trial coming up next here on ATN. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment
permanent basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation.
Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you need MyPillow. Guaranteed to be the most comfortable pillow you will ever own. Using a patented fill, MyPillow adjusts to your exact individual needs by gently supporting your head, shoulders, and neck. MyPillow has a natural built-in cooling effect, keeping your cervical nerves cool, giving you the best sleep of your life. MyPillow will never go flat and relieves snoring, migraines, sleep apnea, fibromyalgia, and many other disorders. It's antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, and best of all, machine washable and dryable. MyPillow is made in the USA, has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau, comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and an industry-leading 10-year warranty. Order today at MyPillow.com or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. Mention coupon code GCN and receive 20% off your order. What do you have to lose except poor sleep? MyPillow.com, the most comfortable pillow you will ever own, guaranteed.
We've been talking about this crowd a lot here on America Tonight. Of course, the case against the circus, because that's what it is. People lining up to get tickets in the morning so that they can sit in the courtroom. Apparently, they have 50 seats available for the public. Well, the latest thing is the prosecution has rested. This is after about 3 weeks of testimony. Chris O'Donnell is covering the trial in Orlando for a local television station. She's been there each and every day. Chris, this is a big deal that the prosecution is done. Were you surprised in watching what was going on at the length of time they took, or did you think maybe it would have taken longer?
Well, I think initially the thought was that it would take longer, but what happened was is the defense, when they gave their opening arguments, really laid out their whole case. And in doing that, many legal experts say they made a mistake because they, in essence, gave the prosecution their playbook. So the prosecution could sort of hold back witnesses, wait for the defense to put on their witnesses, and then they can bring anybody they want in rebuttal. So I think it was once the defense gave the opening statements, I think most experts agreed that this would take about 3 to 4 weeks, and that's where we're at. So tomorrow, beginning at 9 a.m., the defense will start calling their witnesses, and then the state gets the last word. So the state can come on and give a rebuttal to anything that the defense has to say before the case ultimately goes to the jury. And I wouldn't be surprised, Kate, that right now there are probably people sitting in the middle of downtown Orlando outside the courthouse waiting to get in.
It's the hardest ticket to get. I read that people were even arguing that some fists were flying over where they were waiting, you know, where their spot was in line, waiting to get these tickets. That's just crazy. And you've seen it firsthand, and that's what it's like, right? There's a little line.
Yes, there's a line. People will start lining up usually about midnight, 1 a.m., and then there's like a mad dash across the street when the doors open and everybody gets in line. And, yeah, there have been fist fights. There have been people taken out of the hospital. I mean, it is really, I think when you say circus atmosphere, I think you are absolutely right.
Yeah, there you go. What's the deal in the judge denying and all the different things that have happened in this case? This is a big one, and someone was talking to me, an attorney, about this earlier in the day. What about the judge denying Casey Anthony's acquittal motion? That's not necessarily a surprise if you've been watching.
Actually, Yeah, actually, Kate, that was expected. That's something that typically happens in these types of cases. There always is, once the state rests, the defense will file a motion for acquittal, and it was not unexpected, and it was also not unexpected that the judge would say no. The motion for acquittal is denied. He's basically saying that the state has brought enough evidence in the case, and it's now up to the jury to decide, not the judge. So he basically took about an hour to say no. He cited a number of law cases, but in the end, he said, no, the judge, the motion for acquittal is denied. But that was not unexpected. That was something they expected to have happen.
Yeah. How about this one? Casey Anthony's defense attorneys, you mentioned now it's their turn. They're trying to question a convicted felon who was in prison for kidnapping, and they were saying in all these court documents they're filing that he's linked to Casey Anthony's father through the cell phone records. What do you know about that?
Yeah, well, that was a late thing that happened today after court had recessed. The defense added Evasco Thompson to their witness list. He was convicted in 1988 on kidnapping charges, served 10 years in prison, so obviously he is a felon. They're claiming that he made a number of phone calls, or no, let me take that back, that he and George had cell phone contact, George Anthony had cell phone contact four times on July 14th. That's the day before that 911 call by Cindy Anthony. And they're saying that they just discovered him and they wanted to pose him, so they've added him to the witness list. Now, George Anthony's attorney has come out and said, we have no idea who this is. George doesn't know who this person is. George has had no contact with this person, and it's just the defense's way of trying to discredit George Anthony at the 11th hour. So it's yet to be determined if the judge is even going to allow it. But he was a late add to the witness list, and the defense said that they do want to depose Evasco Thompson.
Yeah. Speaking of Casey Anthony's parents, apparently the defense also wants the parents kept out of the courtroom, but they're not going to win on that one, you think?
No, they haven't. They haven't up to this point, because there was a big brouhaha about it before trial started. Basically saying, you know, they can't be in there because they're called as witnesses in this case, but because they are grandparents of the victim, they're allowed to be in court, because the victim's relatives are allowed to be in court, and because in this case they are grandparents of the victim, the judge said, yes, they can stay in court, and that includes her brother, Lee Anthony. He was allowed in as well.
Yeah. We're speaking with Chris O'Donnell. She's, of course, covering this trial in Orlando, the Casey Anthony trial. And Chris, you know, in talking about the parents and all the testimony that we've gone through and the prosecution resting, what's the thought on Casey Anthony and whether or not she gets up there and starts to testify again? You think will that be a long affair for the defense?
Boy, it's a big question, Kate, and it's one that keeps being asked down at the courthouse. Are they or are they not going to call Casey? The only people that know are the defense attorneys. But, you know, many legal experts that I've spoken to say that would probably be a disastrous move, because the prosecution could really start hammering home the fact that, you know, she had lie upon lie upon lie upon lie. And the defense has basically admitted that. Yes, she lied about all these things, but her daughter drowned in an accidental death in the swimming pool, and her father tried to cover it up, and we're going, you know, she is telling the truth about that. So in that case, you know, the defense takes a huge risk. But at the same time, they've laid so many things out there that, you know, Casey was abused by her father and her brother, and Kaylee died in the swimming pool. They may have no other recourse but to put her on the stand to try and prove some of these things. But I think at this point in time, Kate, your guess is as good as mine, and I think everybody is wondering, is she or is she not going to take the stand? And if that does happen, I can tell you that the circus that is currently at the courthouse will be ratcheted up by about 10 levels, I think.
I'm sure there's going to be television live trucks parked all over the place, not like they aren't already, but even more so, as everybody and anyone will scramble around to get a little piece of real estate to try to go live from that courthouse. Chris, do you think, you know, we're talking about the prosecution and the fact that they rested. How did they afterwards, and because they've been pretty vocal with the media, do they feel, what did they say to the media about their case? Do they feel pretty confident? Did they make any statements to that effect afterwards?
They don't. I mean, you know, we've been there trying to get comments from them, and they, you know, they're not going to say a word to the media. The defense team hasn't said, you know, anything to the media as well. I think they let their case speak for itself. and everybody can see on TV how they're laying out their case. You know, these are experienced prosecutors. I think they have a record of something like 27 of 30 in death penalty cases. I mean, they know what they're doing. They have been down this road before. So I think their feeling is, you know, our work speaks for itself. Our case speaks for itself. The defense team certainly isn't you know, going to say much to the media either, because neither side wants really, you know, to give an inch or have anything that might land in the press. And the witnesses haven't either. I mean, they're instructed not to talk to the press. So, you know, basically, our view of the prosecution's case is what we are, you know, what we are seeing on TV. Oh, and by the way, I did hear today that talking about if Casey takes the stand, people will start selling those tickets. You know, the tickets that they have waiting in line. And I heard today the going rate was like 500 or something like that. But that was just one of the rumors floating around Casey Town, as we call it.
Wow, scalpers for a trial. That's got to be a first, other than probably O.J. Simpson, maybe. It's crazy. Speaking of a dollar amount, a lot has been made about how much is this going to cost the state of Florida. I heard it's going to cost maybe $1 million for this trial. Have you heard numbers like that?
I've heard a couple of $100,000 at this point. The defense has billed the state, I think, around, I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, Kate, but I think they have billed the state around $150,000. So I think million maybe a bit much, but who knows? I mean, all the final bills aren't in. So, I mean, this case isn't going on for 3 years. And the defense is, you know, it's using private investigators. You know, it is a costly defense in a very high profile case. So I don't know if it'll make $1 million, but certainly a couple of $100,000 is not, you know, out of the norm at all.
Yeah. As far as Casey Anthony's concerned, you see people going in and out of the courthouse. Does she have a group of friends or associates or whatnot that are there in the courtroom as well, or no?
There does not seem to be at all, no. I mean, the only people that are related to Casey are there, you know, for Casey would be her parents. And whether they are in fact there for her or not remains to be seen, since they are testifying on behalf of the prosecution. So no, there doesn't appear to be anything like that. No.
Wow. Well, it's definitely interesting, and who knows what the timeline is. As we were talking about, we saw what happened with the prosecution. Don't know how long it's going to take the defense. Certainly, we know we're going to go into July. I would think. I don't believe they're going to wrap up that quickly. Is that kind of the prevailing thought around the courthouse?
Yeah, the prevailing wisdom, I think, is that the jury could get the case by the 25th of June to the 27th of June. And then from there, who knows how long they will take to deliberate. Now, if they come back with a conviction of any kind, then, of course, as you know, you go into the penalty phase, which is like a mini trial in and of itself. So we're kind of guesstimating, and again, it's just a guesstimate, you know, early to mid-July. But anything can happen. You know, things have come out of left field with this case, so we really don't know. But the guesstimate right now is early to mid-July.
Chris O'Donnell, thanks so much for covering the...
You've been lied to. Lied to by the Wall Street propaganda machine, the government, and the talking heads in the media. The market is in for another crash. Real estate is already in a double-dip recession, and if you want to keep your hard-earned money safe, this message is for you. My name is Brett Kitchen, and after losing 35% of my money when the market crashed, I said enough is enough. I searched and discovered a way to safely grow my money, participate in potential double-digit gains, but also have my money protected when the crashes come. Plus, it could save you thousands in taxes. I want you to get a free copy of my new book, Safe Money Millionaire, where I share this powerful tool that people like Walt Disney and JCPenney used to safely grow their wealth. Call 1-800-675-1640 right now to get your free copy. Again, that's 1-800-675-1640. I'm giving away a limited number of copies today, so call 1-800-675-1640.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
You worry. You see the signs and worry about the future. You worry about economic turmoil and food shortages. How to be prepared while preserving your sanity? Your answer may be at hand. Author Linda Runyon lived off the land, isolated from civilization. She knows that as long as the sun shines, there will be plenty of free food all over God's green earth. Perhaps the only sane insurance is knowledge of wild edible plants. The cost of learning is minimal. Wild food grows everywhere, and you will see it everywhere. It's every bit organic and more nutritious than our modern diets. Well-respected in her field, Linda's approach to teaching this subject includes books, flashcards, and video, with an emphasis on health, safety, practicality, and joy. Learn how to identify it, where and when to find it, how to prepare, use, and store it. Go to Linda's website, ofthefield.com, and take advantage of special offers. Or if you're not online, call her 24-hour toll-free order line at 888-51-EAT-FREE. That number again, 888-51-EAT-FREE. A little knowledge makes starvation impossible.
Never buy home canning jar lids again. No kidding. When you buy Tadler reusable canning lids once, you'll never buy canning lids ever again. Safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways containing BPA. But Tadler reusable canning lids are guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning. Tadler lids are made with a USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, safe for direct food contact, and contain no BPA. Tadler lids are dishwasher safe, usable with standard pressure or water bath canning. Eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion. Fit standard mason jars, are indefinitely reusable, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders at reusablecanninglids.com or call 1-877-747-2793. 877-747-2793. Call 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com for Tadler reusable canning lids, the original since 1976.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it, now you can. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Interesting stuff. Talking about Casey Anthony, just 25 years old. What a tragedy, no matter how you look at that. And you think of the young daughter and her skeletal remains being found and the shock and horror of that. And now all this nonsense going on in the courtroom. If Casey Anthony is found guilty, gets the death penalty, not very many women have been executed in this country. We've talked about the numbers before. So she would be 40th in recent times, if we were to go back and look at some of the more horrific crimes that women have been convicted of in capital cases. But the strange thing is that she's become a celebrity. She's become a celebrity in the middle of all of this. And I don't know if it's the details, if it's that people are so into what's going on in courtrooms and drama and whatnot that they've been sucked into the story right from the get-go. Nancy Grace, you know how she presents stuff. Nancy Grace really put this on the map when she was hammering it night after night after night. And then ultimately when they found the remains of the daughter, then the arrest and all the things that happened, and because so many people, so much of the population are mothers themselves, and they think of, you know, there's two ways to look at this as to what happened there, and thinking, how does this happen? How does this happen with this young girl, with this family, with these problems? How does it get to this point? How does it get to this point? And all it takes is one juror to say, no way, not enough evidence. I mean, show me the murder weapon. Show me exactly what happened here. And that would throw everything out of whack, and she won't be convicted of the crime. But it is, I use the word circus because it really is like a circus. It is a three-ring deal. Over here we have the mother and the father. In the middle we have crazy, strange circumstances. And then on the end we have Casey Anthony herself. And you just have to wonder, it's fascinating in our legal system because you're supposedly innocent until proven guilty. What is going through the heads in the minds of those jurors as they sit there and listen to one scientific evidence about air samples that blew a doctor right off his feet practically when he smelled them, saying that there's no doubt the smell was horrible, like decaying, like a decaying body. And that was an air sample taken from the trunk of a car that she was driving that was impounded. And then there were crazy stories about the father, the defense saying, listen, the father, the girl accidentally drowned. The father knew his wife couldn't take it. And they came up with a scheme to bury the body. And Casey Anthony went along with it because she was molested by her father. So you don't know what's going to dance out next. You don't know what's going to happen in this courtroom. And I really believe, and maybe there was some other precursor to this, but for everyone listening to me, you're driving in your truck right now and you're here in America tonight, or you're laying there in your bed and you have insomnia. When was it that we started to pay so much attention to the law, to these sensationalized cases? Really, it had to be, I think, the Simpson trial, the chase in the Bronco, the if it doesn't fit, you must acquit. Johnny Corcoran, of course, the famous saying with the glove, the evidence, Judge Ito, and how that was so much of that was made fun of, and how the people really became celebrities in that case. The defense, the prosecution, the dream team, the people who testified. The amount of coverage on that was incredible. And then there were people that were commenting on the legal side that became celebrities themselves. Greta Van Susteren, she was huge in her comments every day commenting on the Simpson trial. Then gets her own show. Remember, she had a show with Roger Cossack on CNN and then now, of course, on Fox. And there were a lot of other people that emerged from that with different jobs having to do with the media. And I think really what blossomed was the interest, the fascination people had with super sensationalized cases. Casey Anthony is one of those. Casey Anthony is right up there with the O.J. Simpson trial. There are people that just cannot get enough of it. Look at the people, as Chris was saying, lining up at midnight to get a ticket into the courtroom the next day. All right, I'm going to switch here on ATN, as I'm known to do. Sometimes we zig and zag a little bit. I am the poll princess because I always wonder really what people are thinking, first of all, when they take some of these polls, and the answers are revealing. And there is something about this, because if polls were completely bogus, even if it's a small sampling, then people wouldn't pay for them. Gallup wouldn't have become what it is, and all these other polls that are put together, they'd be useless. And politicians, especially, who wouldn't glean anything from it, would say, why are we paying for this? Why are we raising money to pay for these useless polls? So there is something to it. There is some magic in the mayhem of crunching all these numbers. These are two different ones, but I found them fascinating when I was going through a bunch of stuff earlier in the day. This also may be where you're at right now. Plenty of people who've called this show are retired. Plenty are on the much younger end of the spectrum where they're in their 20s or 30s and they're wondering if they can even retire with all the stuff that we say about Social Security and jobs and all that stuff into the future. So check this out from Gallup. It looks like more Americans are worried about not having enough money for retirement than a bunch of other things that affect you financially. What they did was they listed a couple of things, and this is interesting to me. So if you're in your 20s, this says something about your personality if you're worried about retiring already. However, Not having enough money for retirement, like I said, was number one. Very or moderately worried, 66%. 30% said they're not too worried or not worried at all. How about this one? Not being able to pay medical costs for a serious illness or an accident. 60% very worried. 38% not worried at all. You know what? There's a thing called projecting onto yourself, or when you, in other words, when you keep thinking it's in your head, these crazy thoughts about worries over money, over medical, over whatever, and then you plant the seed and then it becomes reality. So here's another one. Not being able to maintain your standard of living, 58%, very worried. I can see that. That I get with people losing jobs and all that other stuff. That makes sense to me. 41% not worried at all. Not being able to pay just normal medical health care, you know, doctor's visits. 48% very worried. 50 not worried at all. Not having enough to pay your normal monthly bill. See, I think that would be bigger on people's list because it's right in front of you. 43% very worried. 50 not worried at all. Not worried. Not having enough money to pay for your children's college. 41% very worried. 27 not worried at all. Not being able to pay your rent, mortgage, other housing. I would think that would be huge, along with monthly bills. 36% very worried. Check this out. 58 not too worried. What does that tell you? Well, screw it. If we have to foreclose, we foreclose. 58% not worried about it, but yet they're 66% worried about retirement. How about this? This makes you sick, huh? Not being able to make the minimum payments on your credit cards. Very telling here, too. Very worried, 24%. Not too worried, 60%. Wow. What does that say? What does that say? I think that some of that is a little bit backwards. You cannot be in your 20s and 30s and be having flop sweats and night terrors and tremors over whether or not you're retiring, because all that other stuff is there. You have many other things that I think would hit your triggers right now versus, oh, let's think about it down the line. And that's like the worst. I don't get it. I understand being concerned about financial matters in general. And I understand if someone's getting ready to retire, why they would feel that way. But boy, when you're 18 to 29 years old and you're very worried about whether or not you can retire, you need to chillax a little bit. You really do, because it's going to be all right. You have to take care of those other things first. You know, then you can worry about it. Oh, wow. It kind of goes along with this other thing I saw from Reuters, because they had a poll, and it talked about the rich world's economic prospects that they've gotten a little dark. And this is from economists, though. So this is your everyday people, different age groups. And the other thing is economists, they say there's new signs of a slowdown in the United States that compounds those fears about the fiscal health of Western economies. And while China and India are taking huge leaps to calm inflation worries there, in the West, of course, it's all about defusing our fiscal time bombs. And boy, do we have a time bomb. We know what that is, right? The deficit ceiling and what we're going to do there. I mean, the debt ceiling. Are we going to lift the debt ceiling or just slam right through it? So in the poll, that's what it shows. Economists in the Wednesday poll took an axe, basically, to the outlook of the U.S. economic growth, because they say, look, jobs, industrial data is pathetic, oil concerns. I mean, they were ugly, ugly numbers. All right, on the flip side, little odds and ends.
If you drive for a living, you don't get paid to stop or wait in line. Keep your wheels moving with PrePass. Bypass way stations. Fly by port of entry facilities. Stay moving at highway speed while the guy without PrePass waits in line. Save time, save money. Call 888-401-PASS to try PrePass free. That's 888-401-PASS.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
You've been waiting and waiting and waiting to prepare. And now it's almost here. The huge summer blowout sale at TrueWilderness.com. How much will you save? Up to 70% store-wide. Save this week on Alpine Air No. 10 cans, Wise Food Storage, Berkey Water Filters, Food Dehydrators, Pressure Cookers, Sawyer Water Filters, and much more at up to 70% off. But only at TrueWilderness.com. This is the preparedness sale you've been waiting for. TrueWilderness.com has every item you need for any emergency. Shelter and backpacks, knives and tools, lighting and radios, first aid, food storage, water filters, and much more. And now, during the huge summer blowout sale, save up to 70%. Call 877-573-7173 or go to TrueWilderness.com. Hurry, call 877-573-7173 or shop online at TrueWilderness.com. This huge sale starts this Saturday. True Wilderness, an urban survival company.
As we race to the finish line of this hour of America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, little odds and ends for you. And what is that? Well, while you were sleeping, perhaps, or maybe while you were busy doing other things, you might have missed a couple of deals that I think are worth throwing your way. Like, got to give credit where credit's due when it comes to the big four in sports, even if you're not a sports fan. It's a smart audience. You read either blogs or papers still or whatever, and you might peruse a little bit the sports section, but this will be on the front page of a lot of papers. The Bruins win the Stanley Cup, knocking off the Canucks in a final. Yes, indeed. In a final Game 7. Game 7 are thrilling, because that's it. All the way to the wire. You got three, I got three, and here's the rubber match. So they did it in Canada, and this for the Bruins is the first time they've won it in 39 years. 39 years is a long time in between Stanley Cups. And here's a little funny thing about the Stanley Cup. You see, if you'll see the skaters skate with above their head, you know, and it looks like it's this giant thing, and it is pretty big. I took a picture of the Stanley Cup once and had a chance to look at it, and it is so dented, and it is so crazy what happens with the Stanley Cup. Check this out, folks. Is this the best? If you win the Stanley Cup, you get to spend time with the cup. So in other words, if I'm a player on the team, I could be the equipment manager, the coach, the general manager, whatever. I get to take the cup for a couple of days. It can sit in my house. It could be at my picnic. We could fill it with beer. We could fill it with hot dogs. We could throw it in a pool. And people have done very crazy things to the Stanley Cup. It's kind of an irreverent deal, and I love that about this. Love it. So here you go. You've got a Canadian city. It is Canada's game. They're in Vancouver, British Columbia, and they couldn't close the deal. So Boston gets the cup after 39 years. And, you know, to be sure, Boston is a huge hockey town anyway. But congratulations to the Bruins. Tim Thomas, 37 saves, a shutout, 4-0. That was the final in that matchup, 4-0. And what a backstopper he's been for them. So it's only fitting that he'd have that kind of a game. He was the most valuable player, the only one who wanted to take hockey pucks in the face. Because trust me, they come at you about, 90-some miles an hour. Yeah, you have to be able to withstand it. All right, let's continue down the path of odds and ends. You know, we've been talking a lot about 2012 and what's going to happen with the Republicans. Well, another name is emerging, and this is going to happen for a while. You get some breadcrumbs that get thrown out there, someone testing the water, and then deciding to dive in. Former ambassador to China, a guy named John Huntsman, is going to announce that he wants to run for president. He's going to do it in New Jersey. The Statue of Liberty would be the backdrop because he'll be at the Liberty State Park on the Jersey side. He's interesting. He was Utah's governor for 3 or 4 years before President Obama, before all of that happened, before Obama. And he was appointed to the top post in Beijing. So it's kind of different than the other people that are in the middle of this. His background's a little bit different. And he's skipping the Iowa caucuses, which is really where your litmus test comes in. It's the first GOP presidential contest. But he's doing it because he opposes ethanol and farm subsidies. And that's clearly two huge issues that are near and dear to the hearts of Iowans, many listening to America Tonight. I mean, how would you feel, Iowa, about a candidate who opposed ethanol and farm subsidies? I'm going to say he's probably not going to do very well. So it's smart to step away from going there. But he's an intriguing candidate. I don't think he has a prayer of getting the nomination, but maybe could be a second person on a ticket. See, this is what I'm starting to think. When you get this many people that are declaring they want to be president, then you start to look and think, okay, let's see what they do. Maybe this is somebody that could be the other part of the equation. So the VP nominee. And this guy could probably be that. With the experience he's had internationally, the experience he's had here in the States, and he has a couple of different things on his resume, I think, that make him stand out. Now, how he plays with the voters, I have no idea. I have no idea how that would work out for him, because he's going to have to hit the ground running if he's not going to go to Iowa. Then you also have the governor of Texas, Rick Perry, who spent some time in New York wooing rich Republicans who have some sway. And he almost seems like he's serious about potentially running. He talks about the conservative view. That was what he was really, really pushing. And he talked to a bunch of Republicans on Tuesday night and talked about considering running on the Republican side, of course. And he has backing. He has backing. And his deal is Washington is too big, too powerful, too much of a machine, and it's all more about states' rights, all more about smaller government. So he pushes the conservative, definitely pushes the conservative line, and he's pro-gun. There are a couple of things that would make him popular in some areas. He, as the governor, he's got a 42% approval rating, and how that would possibly work if he were to be serious and take it all the way through, I don't know. He's another guy that I also would say would be better as the second person on the ticket. He, in other words, because of his experience, because of how he feels about guns, because of less power in Washington and the gridlock, he would be, I think, appealing probably there. Sadly, another odds and ends is Mother Nature, and this time we're talking about Florida getting hammered, but it's strange, it's because of lightning. Lightning like in Tampa, it's like the lightning capital of the world. But you got about 40 new wildfires breaking out every day because of the very dry conditions. They say across Florida, everybody was focusing on Arizona, but at least 384 fires are burning. So far, 115 acres down. The governor declared a state of emergency already earlier in the week because of the drought conditions and says it's above the average on a yearly basis. And we're getting hammered by the lightning coming through. And that's what it is in Tampa, but not just in Tampa, in Ocala and a lot of regions. They have wicked lightning storms, and that strike hits somewhere and all of a sudden spurs one of these fires. So it's too big for the state to handle. They've got other people coming in, Virginia, Kentucky, lending a hand. They got about, you know, 200-300 people fighting this thing because it continues to just scorch the earth. Whew. I mean, this happens every year, and we know it, and you know that the firefighters get better at doing what they do, and they build the lines and, you know, do whatever they can to try to quell the fires. But doesn't it seem like there's more fires than usual? Well, I guess it's because drought conditions and land, Arizona, now Florida, California, they get those Santa Ana winds, and they're just toast when that happens. Oof, just absolutely toast. Good time to remind you, hey, it's never too late to practice the fire safety thing. I can say this. I don't have to take a poll. I bet 80% of you listening to this show have no idea what to do if a fire were to break out in your house. I'm just saying. I could just see you smashing the window trying to figure a way to get out. Oof, you created a backdraft. Be smart. Do a little fire drill thing. Trust me, just in case it ever happens to you, you'll know what to do.